when this reading comes, this reading from Mark 6, the immediate sequel to the multiplication of the loaves. We spent a lot of time, and I will when it comes up again, on that last line, you see. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. And this is why they didn't understand the walking on the sea. What is the mystery, you see, of the loaves, the incident of the loaves? What does that say? Well, this is the Eucharist. But this is the Eucharist as the life-giving presence of the act of love in which Jesus died. And that's what feeds us, as it fed them. And as we enter into that mystery, the walking on the water opens up, and we understand what this is all about. Mark is a marvelous teacher, and he challenges us, you know. We read that so nicely. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. They were completely astonished, you see. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then he got into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely astonished. Now, why would they be astonished? Isn't this the Son of God? Why are they so astonished? And Mark says, the reason why they had not understood the incident of the loaves, they didn't understand what that meant. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. And that's a challenge to us, isn't it? We read that, and if we're honest, we have to say, I don't get it either. Right? Even though now the Lord has risen from the dead, he's glorious and in power, and he feeds us on these loaves. And we still don't get it. And that's one of Mark's great teaching devices, is to keep showing us how the leaders didn't get it. Now, he doesn't expect us to say, how dumb those leaders, but to say, how dumb am I that I don't understand this? Why? What about a hard heart makes me incapable of understanding what the mystery of the loaves are all about? And this theme of the loaves will go through all the nearly every incident. It's called the bread section of Mark. You see, the loaves are basically the mystery of the death and glorification of Jesus Christ. But we'll return to that. This is an incident in this period of reflecting on the wonder of Jesus with us. The Son of God with us, born of a virgin among us. And so we have these texts. We move on to another incident tomorrow from another gospel. This is the theology of presence in this section. Now, in the first reading, which is from 1 John 4, we're in the last of those three spirals I spoke about, and where faith and love are brought to meet. And so we have here now, beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. And that is sort of the whole driving point of Revelation, isn't it? To be so overwhelmed with the love that God has for us that we just reach out, go out, move, preach, talk, forgive, make friends, because we're driven by this knowledge of the love of God. And so, you see, if we love one another, God remains in us. And this is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given of his Spirit. there's a witness within us, a divine person witnessing to the reality of what the Father has done for us in the death and resurrection of his Son. And he goes on then to talk, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Know and believe. We've come to know it. And therefore, we can believe in it. We can rely on it. We can put our weight on it. We can say, I trust you, God. And so then, we have this final, I'm skipping because of time, of course. We have this final one. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. That's precious, isn't it? Now, what would the secret be to be living a fearless life? Perfect love. What does that mean? Do I have to go do my spiritual push-ups and get to perfect love and then I'll be free of fear? Well, if that's the case, not going to be many fearless people around. No. One of the keys here is to join Jesus in his weakness. Think of the way that Jesus just loved the Father, trusted the Father his whole life, even in his weakness. The agony in the garden, the crucifixion, the enmity of those who, you know, his weakness. Because, you see, when we join Jesus in his weakness, we come to know the way the Father loves us. And we're not trying so hard that way. We're rather driven by love to trust him and to tell the world about him. But the key is to join Jesus in his weakness. One beautiful example, just say Psalm 22. But say it with Jesus. You drew me out of my mother's womb. You know, you laid me on my mother's breast to feed me. This is Psalm 22. In the middle of all this talk about suffering, which is real. You see, I trust you because I know your love. And that's what casts out fear. It's not that I get to love God perfectly and now I'm cool. It's the opposite. I know God's love, the Father's love, and now I'm okay. In weakness. I'm not protected. I'm not in good shape. I'm not. But neither was Jesus. Look at the way he wept in the garden. Anyway, I think the Lord would let us in on that little secret. That you see, perfect love drives out fear. Because it's that receiving of love from the Father in weakness.